brother. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to the brother as he invited all those on Facebook and the other gadgets they have out there, welcome to our service. I thought of the young preacher that took his first church. He was pastoring in this small community. It had a 500-watt radio station, so he got a time in the morning for a radio broadcast, and he'd come on every morning and say, "Hello, world." So you can literally say that now. Hello, world. So it is so glad, so good to be with you folks. I'm glad the preacher thought of me as he was praying for a substitute. And I learned a lot of things when I was playing ball as a substitute. I learned a lot of things. And you can do the same in life. God chooses the steps of those he loves. And he has a purpose for all things. So turn with me to John, please, in your Bible and in your gadgets. If you will turn over there. Chapter 1, John chapter 1. Then when you find your place, and I never could figure this out as long as he was alive, but Brother Billy Goosby used to say, "Now hold your finger there." I never could figure that out, what he's talking about. But anyway, hold your place there and turn to chapter 14 of the book of John. I'm going to read a few verses just for a base. And I want to preach this morning on the practical side of Christ. We know his deity. We know all about that. And we know about the other, but I think sometimes people here, we get so engulfed with the deity of Christ and the coming again of Christ, which are wonderful things, we forget sometimes what's going on right now and how that Jesus Christ, in a practical way, takes care of our needs. So let's look at these verses today. First of all, we'll look at John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 14. The Bible said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now turn to chapter 14. Let me read three verses there. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now you'll notice in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it shows us God the Father. And here it also shows us that God represented the beginning of time. Now we know that there was no beginning with God, and there's no future. I mean, he is all in all, forever past and today in the future. But here we show him as the beginning of time, according to how we measure time. Then in verse 14, we see God the Son, and he walked among the earth and dwelt among us. And here he is showing his humanity. There's deity and there's humanity. Then in John chapter 14 in verses 1 through 3, this shows the end of time, as we know time again, that Jesus is coming again. But between the birth of Christ and his coming, we should look at the earthly ministry of Christ for just a while. and see how that we are missing many blessings because we are not cashing in, per se, of all that Jesus Christ is to us today. And I'll go through some of those in just a while, but I want to take a little while to just say something about the beginning of time and then the in-between time and the latter time. But why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did he come to be a practical Son of Man? He was Son of God. He manifested himself as God the Son. And wonder why he did that. Have you ever thought about this? God is God and he cannot die. He had to manifest himself through flesh and blood. There had to be a sacrifice that man could see and touch and feel and know that he was just like we were. And I'll tell you, a lot of times we miss so many blessings because we don't think about who Christ wants to be in our life today. Do you realize, just as we have children in our natural state, we are concerned about them from the very start. We watch them as they dawdle along and fall, trying to learn to walk. We watch every aspect and we're trying to make them stronger. That is exactly why that's one of many reasons that Jesus came to the earth, was to identify with mankind and let mankind know that they had someone that was touched with the feelings of their infirmities. But yet today, we will just go on our way, and God is there, and he says, I'll never leave you. Now notice in that verse, he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never forsake thee. That's an interesting word. Now notice, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can leave me and you can forsake me. You can be in my presence and forsake me as a human, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave us. And he will never forsake us. He will always be there. But why did he come? And I'm just going to hit these high spots and get to the meat of the message. But first of all, he came to fulfill the law for righteousness' sake. Now think about this. Had Jesus not come as the sacrificial lamb, then we would have had to work all week in trying to keep our little lamb free of any faults and any, you know what I'm saying? That's how they had to worship back then. The blood of bulls and goats was kind of a pacifier, as it was, until Jesus went to the cross, and when he sacrificed himself, he settled it all. Amen. He settled it all. Notice, he said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law. Now that does not mean annihilation. That means in practice. We still listen, the Ten Commandments of the law, is that right? Now we cannot keep the Ten Commandments. We cannot keep them per se. There's no way. But the principles of those Ten Commandments are lived out every day in our lives. Thou shalt not steal. That didn't go away when Jesus Christ died on the cross, did it? You ought to tell some of these preachers that, and they'd quit stealing flocks. I can say that now, I'm 84, amen. But my point is, he came to fulfill, or as the old country preacher said, he come to feel full, amen. He came to fulfill the law for righteousness' sake to everyone that believeth. Listen to the reading of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 19. For the law made nothing perfect but the bringing in of a better hope. Whew, that's Jesus. But the bringing in of a better hope by the which we draw nigh unto Christ. Now we know, as you studied the book of Hebrews, and I think Brother Scripture did study down here, and I'm sure your pastor has many times, But it was impossible for those priests to ever perform to perfection. Now they tried their best to get the lamb that was without spot or blemish. And they ministered day in and day out to the people because as the priest, that was their privilege and their responsibility. But the Bible plainly tells us that they were natural people. They were natural men. They had a limit as far as life was concerned, and they died. But Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, when he took your sin and my sin into his body and hung there on the tree, he settled it all. The Bible said he went back to the Father and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And I got another nugget that you love. And he ever liveth. Amen. Boy, that will make a Baptist get excited right there. Hallelujah. Can you listen? I'm on the little end of a big stick, amen? I mean, you cannot get me out of Christ. You cannot do that. I'm sealed on the day of redemption, and I'm beginning to chase rabbits, so I'm going to get back to my message. But when you start talking about Jesus, what other theme could be any better? A man, the man. Christ Jesus. Have you ever seen or heard the illustration? God had one hand, or the Son had one hand with God and man with the other. That's what we're talking about here. He identifies with his people to fulfill the law. Now notice, all of this natural practice of the priest, but Hebrews 10:17, but this man. You see, they were the natural man, but this man is the supernatural man. That's why he could say, it is finished. Now, he not only came to earth to fulfill the law, but to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I want to go through real quickly right here just what we call the plan of salvation. There may be someone out there today that's spent all your money last night partying, and you're trying to find that inner peace that you'll never find outside of Christ. And you're hoping this morning that in some way you can know peace. Well, I want to introduce you in the next 5 minutes. I want to tell you how you can know you're going to heaven when you die. The Bible mentions this like this: by one man, sin entered into the world. And sin and death was passed upon all men. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory, the standard that God has. No man can do that, but I can standing with Christ. But he says, notice, sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now remember, sin, we learn, has a debt. And what is that debt? It's death. If we never trust Christ as our Savior, you say, well, preacher, every one of these people that we see in the funeral homes, you mean they're dying? No, we're talking not only physical death, folks. We're talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death simply means totally separated from God forever and forever. But the Bible said that Jesus Christ paid those wages, for the wages of sin is death. But aren't you glad that but God commended his love toward us? In that, he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, that we might could know the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm going to tell you, folks, I was putting this message together, and I'm not boasting on myself. Most of you know me, and I'm nothing but just a sinner saved by grace. But there's very few times in my life since I've been saved and really understood, not perfectly, but really understood the Bible. It's very few times, Brother Jay, I can read this Bible and look at the place where I was and where I am now. And how is that possible, preacher? How can I leave this sinful life that I'm living? The Bible said, if you'll believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, I have just presented to you the gospel. And the Bible said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If we will trust Christ as our perfect sacrifice on the cross, and then the resurrected Savior that came forth on the third day, the Bible said if we'll truly, honestly, sincerely believe that in our heart and confess that with our mouth, we shall be saved. Amen. Dear friend, all you have to do, lift your heart, say, Lord, I've sin. I'm sorry. I know that I cannot make it on my own. Dear Father, by faith I put my hand and by faith into your being. Come into my life. If you truly meant that, I'll see you at the marriage supper in heaven. And if you truly meant that, or if you still are searching, would you call the pastor of this dear church? And I promise you, he'll explain in detail what I've told you. You must be born again. No man can see God unless he goes through Christ. So we find that Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he came to seek and to save that was lost. But thirdly, and where I want to stay for just a while, is he came to identify with his children. Now, in between the birth of Christ and the coming again, God wants us to know that he is closer than any brother. Now, I'm going to give you scripture. We're not going to turn to all of these scriptures, but I'll give you the gist of them, and please read them later. But I want us to look at a few things on how that he identifies with us. First of all, we find in Matthew 8 and verse 20 that Jesus was acquainted with loneliness. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. All the disciples, I think, would at the end of the day when they was ministering, and all of those ministering ones around Jesus, at the end of a hard day, they would all go to be with their wife and their family. But not Jesus. He went alone. He was a lonely man. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 that he was acquainted with grief. He knows what it is when your heart is in pain. Linda and I know a lady in Kingsport, Tennessee, where I pastored for several years. One of the sweetest couples in that church. They never had children, naturally, but they did through missions. It was amazing how they did. And all of a sudden, the Grover, the husband, the disease, I forget what it was, but it was very fast moving. And it just got him, man, and within months, he was gone. He was a good Christian. We know where he is. But Neely Cox is her name, and I can use her name because she may can see me today. She never, in all of her years, and we're talking 15 to 17 years, she never quit grieving. She says, "Hey, preacher, read that verse again." And I would, but she just couldn't get hold of it. She loved him so much. But she didn't love him as much as Christ loved him. But yet she was hard. But yet he knew and knows today. Preached the funeral last week down in Rainesville of my nephew. You see grief in the eyes of this precious family. Must see it. But I'm telling you, if you're here today or you're out there watching and you're lonely and you have grief in your heart that you can't handle, standing somewhere in the shadow, you will find Jesus. He not only was acquainted, and this is what I want us to get a hold of today, is the practical side of Christ. Practical. He's you don't see him, but he's here. Hallelujah, he is here. so loneliness. Notice in Mark 4:28, he was acquainted with physical exhaustion. He's in the hinder part of the ship asleep. You say, why? He's identifying with his brothers, sisters in Christ today. Amen? And then in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 and 13, he knows what it is to be hungry. When he came out of Bethany, he and his disciples, he saw a fig tree and he stopped and ate the fig tree. See, he knows what it means. And here I could spend a lot of time I want, but he knows what it means to be tempted. Matthew 4:1-11, you need to read over again and again how Jesus used the Word of God to combat Satan. And it still works today, by the way. But the Bible said that three times Satan came and confronted our Savior. But what was the strength? What was the identity? What's Christ telling us here practically today? What is he telling us? If you look in the very few words of that verse 1, you'll see why. He was led of the Spirit. There it is. If we go out in this world and try to do it on our own, friend, there's nothing but failure awaiting you. But if you'll wait on the Holy Spirit, he guides and guards. Amen? And he gives us direction in our life. We don't have to wander in the wilderness. Man, Canaan land is just in sight. I mean, that's victory, my friend. We can eat of the honeysuckles or whatever it was over there. I personally believe it'll be kraut and weenies. Amen. God will not withhold any good thing from those who walk up. That's not that. But God knows. He knows. He wants to identify with you. He does identify with us, but do we allow him to be practical? He's just walking with us today. You don't see him, but he's walking with me today. And he says, I notice you're downhearted. I notice you're discouraged. I notice you're in doubt. I notice. Come unto me and let's sit down and talk about this. That's the practical side of Christ. And that's what he wants us to get a hold of today. We're in a mixed up, excuse me, crazy world. I'm not kidding you. A dangerous world. And we need him. We need that whisper in the midnight hour. We need that. Why do we forsake that? I'll never know. I'm telling you, there has no temptation taken you, though, but which is common to man. Every man and woman has their temptations. It's not a sin to be tempted. Just don't yield to it. Just don't yield to it. And God will give you power. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Man, he'll give us power. We have that power according to the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we come down now to the place to where we see the bottom line of the message. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, that Jesus became a man, among many other things, to identify with his people, notice, in order to be a faithful and merciful high priest. That's why he became and identified with us, so he could, now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's representing us. And he's faithful and he's merciful and he, when God comes, and when our prayers go up to God, they have to go through Jesus Christ. Amen? And if it's a foolish prayer, I don't think Jesus even lets it in to the throne room, be honest with you. I'll never forget as long as I live what the late Adrian Rogers said about answered prayer. He said, God answers prayer in four ways. Yes, no, later, and are you kidding? I'll never forget that as long as I live. Because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, when we live like the world and act like the world and let the world society dictate to how we live and think we can just waltz in and out of the throne room of God, friend, we got a problem. It just doesn't work that way, amen. So I want to be in a place to where when I come to the Lord, He'll say, here you are again. But the Bible said that's all right. He's not going to upbraid. He's not going to get on to us. Every moment I seem like in my life I'm there for a different reason. But God hears and answers my prayer. What a Savior. Now you say, preacher, sum all this message up is simply this. If you're listening here or on the Facebook, the best answer in the world to give of this is to be sure you know Christ as your Savior. Now, He's already identified with the sinner. Amen? He's been tempted in all points, but yet without sin. But if you're here today and you'd like to know, or if you're listening and you'd like to know that I really can have a joyful day, a day that God's made and I'm going to rejoice in it, that's actually a reality, but I don't have that now. If you'll just bow your head where you are and do what I mentioned a while ago, call on Jesus. He'll save you and He'll give you new life. Would you stand with your heads bowed, please?